Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulil karim amma ba'd. Continue discussing the signing of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. We stopped at a place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had got some information of the rumor of the assassination of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. On the other hand, Suhail bin Amr from amongst the people of Makkah with a delegation of three other people had come to Hudaybiyah, and according to some narrations, they also witnessed this bi'at that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken, which was subsequently known as Baytul Ridwan. And when he sees this amazing incident, he also negotiates, according to some narrations, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the freedom of that 60 or 70 people that were held captive at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in lieu of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and the others that may have been with him. And in this way, he goes back to Makkah Mukarramah, and he also mentions the kind of zeal and enthusiasm, that love, that muhabbat, that ittiba, that spirit of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so great in Sahaba that he had judged from this Baytul Ridwan. And at that time, he had come back to Hudaybiyah, and he then sat down with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now with the intention of the treaty. After all this, they had realized eventually that there is no hope and no scope for them of going any way forward, of debarring Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkah Mukarramah. But one very important clause that they had sent Hazrat Suhail ibn Amr to include was that Umrah will not take place this year, the sixth year of the Hijrah, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in would have to go back and then come the following year. And hence, that was the basis of this treaty. The following year also, they would come only for a period of 3 days, and they would leave Makkah Mukarramah after the expiry of those 3 days. So when this treaty was now being written down, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called upon Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to be the scribe, to write down this treaty. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded him, and said to him, write Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. So Suhail bin Amr said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we do not know about this Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Obviously they knew who was Allah, so we will not accept that on the treaty. So you must write Bismikallahumma. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam abided. He was not obliged to do so. But now is a spirit of reconciliation that is taking place. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Ali, write Bismikallahumma. And that was also written. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam dictated to Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that write Hada ma qada Muhammadur Rasulullah, that this is what Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Nabi of Allah, and Suhail bin Amr is now determining upon. So again, Suhail bin Amr made the objection that if this was the fact and there was no issue that you, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then all this would have not been happening. The issue is that we do not accept you as the Rasul of Allah. So instead of that, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the son of Abdullah, should rather be included and written down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to remove Rasulullah and to put Abdullah, but Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu did not have the heart to now erase Rasulullah from that paper on which the treaty was being written. And according to some narrations, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself removed Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And in this way, the treaty was arranged, negotiated, between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Suhail ibn Amr, and three very important clauses that the treaty contained was the one that we discussed, that this year you would not perform Umrah, you would go back to Madinah Munawwara, and you would come back the following year, the 7th year of the Hijrah, and you will perform your Umrah, and you will remain in Makkah Mukarramah for 3 days, nothing more will be allowed. Now one of the reasons and the rationale that the people of Makkah had wanted this to be included in the treaty and become the basis of the treaty was, had they allowed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go into Makkah Mukarramah that year, that particular time, to perform Umrah, they were afraid of the misgivings, the misconceptions of the greater Arab tribes, the people of Al-Hijaz, that perhaps they would think that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had waged some war, there was some skirmish opposition that had taken place from the people of Makkah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had overpowered them, and with that fear, they wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go back. The other two important aspects of the treaty was this, that if anyone, we discussed that there were those du'afa, those very weak people in Makkah Mukarramah who were economically, socially weak, they could not leave Makkah Mukarramah because of difficulties, pressure from the families, etc. Now, if any one of those people left Makkah Mukarramah and they came to Medina Munawwara, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have to send them back to Makkah. In other words, they would not be allowed to remain in Medina Munawwara in an Islamic environment, in the environment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, something that was totally, totally against the spirit of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. On the one hand, to now come out of Ihram and to go back was one absolute difficulty. Now that difficulty is multiplied by this difficulty, that if our own brothers and sisters, if they come from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, we would have to send them back. That was a very, very difficult thing. And then the second was that if anyone from Madinah leaves Madinah Munawwara, now he being a Muslim, he leaves Madinah Munawwara and he goes to Makkah, for what other reason would he go to Makkah to stay there? Because, wa na'udhu billah, he's probably leaving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person can come to Makkah, and the people of Makkah, the Quraysh, were not obliged to send him back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these were the three main clauses of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and three, we could see, was totally against the spirit of the Muslims, of the Sahaba ikiram, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. But our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had done this with a greater view, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had looked at a very larger picture. And we've seen historically also that after this treaty was signed, many, many more people embraced the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this was, so to say, the freeway and the highway of interaction between the people of Makkah and the people of Madinah Munawwara, and this was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion then, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after having signed this treaty, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's last challenge was that now we need to leave Hudaybiyah, we need to go back to Madinah Munawwara. Up to now, his difficulties were with the people of Makkah. Now Sahaba Ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, most enthusiastic to go into Makkah Mukarramah to perform the Umrah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now makes the announcement that those that have the animals with them should slaughter them, we should come out of Ihram by shaving our heads or clipping our hair, and in this way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam makes the i'lan. But grief struck Sahaba ikiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, nobody moved, nobody had the energy to move, and nobody now, it was not a disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the reluctance had been now disappointment that we cannot go to Makkah Mukarramah. At that time, on that journey, our mother, Hazrat Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she gave a very, very beautiful piece of advice to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that rather than asking Sahaba, commanding them to do so, why don't you stand up and let your hair be shaved? And in this way, when they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam now having his head shaved, that spirit of ittiba, that spirit of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once again became alive in the hearts of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left Hudaybiyah, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the 1400 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in went back to Medina Munawwara. And then the following year, in the 7th year of the Hijrah, the Umratul Qadha, the Qadha of this Umrah had taken place, and they remained in Makkah Mukarrama for a period of 3 days. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had returned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of deen, the love of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala Nabi al-Kareem. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi.